everyone. Welcome to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. Dad, I just want to say we did get a great response from last week. We mentioned about Halo, that you do personalized videos.
Guy from California, eh?
Pardon?
A guy from California emailed you.
Yeah.
And
well, they go to Halo, HEYALLO.com, and they request a personalized video, and also you do personalized voicemails. And you know what? We got a great response. You got one for a wedding. You got one from it was.
And everybody remembers this. I hope that all the money goes to your pet. Or not, I guess Don Cherry.
It's your foundation, yeah. Dad. I just run it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Tim, go ahead.
The draft was last week.
Well,
so
before we go, that name, give the email address.
Yes, it's you go to the website. You don't email me directly. HEYALLO.com. Like a lot of people out there will know Cameo, and that's the one in the States. We went with because we were approached by Cameo and a couple other ones, and we chose to associate ourselves with the Canadian one. Two women in Quebec started this company up and are getting very successful. So go there and make your request. So what about the draft, Tim, happened last week?
When Dad and I, we go out drafting, when we go out watching the under-16s now, we used to call them minor midgets, and they say, do you enjoy it? And it's fun going out seeing the kids, right, Dad?
But
when it gets around January, February,
it's cold
and it's really not that fun. And we come back at 11 o'clock at night, then I got to do the write-ups. But what's fun is seeing the kids that we saw at 15 years old, being drafted finally into the NHL.
So they made it.
All that effort. And it's so exciting to see the people, you know, the moms and the dads that we've seen in the rinks all dressed up and hugging the kids and getting all excited. And that's kind of the payoff, really.
It is.
So here's the guys that we saw. And this was from, again, the Greater Toronto Hockey League, which I think is the greatest.
Well, it's 40,000 people.
40,000 and kids from China come over, and Russia come over, and Sweden come over to play.
There's a guy, and where is that guy in Toronto somewhere that he have to have an address, and he gives them an address.
Yeah, there's all that funny stuff that goes on.
So the first pick overall for the Buffalo Sabres was Owen Power. So he's a big defenseman. We saw him at the Mississauga Rebels.
And he is big.
He's 6'6 now. We saw him. He was 6'3. At 15.
15 years old, 6'3".
And he had a great Spengler Cup.
He was really good. Let me ask you the question, Dad. He's a defenseman. He's still young, 18. He's going to Buffalo. You know Buffalo, unfortunately, going to get their brains pounded out again.
They're after Shane Wright.
Yeah, they might be another one. And Owen Powers said he wants to go back. He plays for Michigan in the NCAA. They got a powerhouse team. They want to win a champion. Should he play in the NHL next year, or should he go back to college?
Buffalo's going to be a little ticked at me saying this right now. Of course, he's losing a year's salary, but I would go back because he's going to get your brains pounded out in Buffalo, and he'd be seeing all his friends winning the championship out there. Where is it? University of Michigan?
Michigan, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus him being a defenseman as opposed to like a forward.
Well, I think he'll go back.
Because like in the old days, like you saw Larry Robinson playing in Nova Scotia in the American Hockey League.
Yeah, he looked a big stork.
So all they used to especially send a defenseman a couple of years in the
Always do send a defenseman down because what happens is you lose your confidence and
because when a defenseman makes a mistake, as we all know on TV, it's very blatant.
And believe me, he'll make a lot of mistakes in Buffalo. Yeah. And I'm not knocking Buffalo. I'll never knock Buffalo because that owner spends the money. I mean, he spent the money on Stahl. He spent the money on He spent the money. Yeah. And Skinner, I mean, he gave Skinner the money and everything. Anyhow, go ahead. I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
So then L.A. picked Brent Clark, who played for the Don Mills Flyers.
On the wing with Shink.
He's a defenseman.
Yeah,
Yeah, he's a defenseman. The other guy, the next guy, Othman, was the winger.
Oh, he's the guy that played on the wing with Shane Wright. You're going to hear a lot about Shane Wright
in a couple of years. That team, Don Mills, they didn't lose a game all season. They lost one game in a tournament, and that was it. Oh. I would think that that team was probably the best team.
Oh, no, I think the best team I ever saw was Dan Cameron. Remember?
Yeah. And Zach Hyman was on that team.
Was he?
Yeah.
Boy, that team, and let me tell you a story about that. I know you have to read that list, but let me tell you a story about Dan Cameron.
What team was this?
Junior Canadians.
And this was a long time ago.
Long time.
That's all the time. Zach Hyman was 15, so.
Yeah, so figure it out. So I said, how come your team passes? Bing, 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 bing. They made monkeys of teams. Teams that, they were unbelievable. He says, all I do is scrimmage. And every guy on that team got drafted, except the backup goalie. And the parents didn't like Dan Cameron. You know why? Because he said, well, anybody can just do that. But they didn't realize that these kids, when they scrimmage, they pass the puck around. I mean, remember that, Tim? Well, that's the best team I saw.
Yeah, they used to like come out of their ends like better than a pros.
Being a hockey mom, I mean, and knowing a little bit about hockey, even when Dell was playing, these coaches, because I don't know where they get their drills from. They
hockey
drills
Canada.
And they drills. The kids are
remember
so
I had
bored.
The
and then they use the scrimmage. Wow, like a 3-minute scrimmage at the end if the kids do all the drills right.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's so
and
sad.
And they hate the drills.
But you know what? You're so right, Dad. It impressed the parents in the stands that don't know hockey, and they go, oh, wow, look at them putting them through
the
drills.
Well, I think the best is when they have the chalkboard on the side.
Oh, yeah.
And they're paying $200, $150.
Yeah, they're lecturing them on philosophies of hockey on the ice that they're paying for. Well, I know you couldn't go. You couldn't go to the...
How about when they have them on their knees? Or sitting on the ice, look at that man.
Hey, how about the time where they broke the leg? When the drills are so complicated for these kids that are 9 or 10 years old that the coaches were trying to show them how to do the drills, and they collided, and one guy broke his leg.
Remember, I said to you, I said, I'm getting off here. I was on the ice. I said, I'm getting off
here.
Well,
we did. We invited you to come on the ice one time. And it was amazing how the fathers were trying to impress you more than the kids. And Dad goes, well, that's it for me. I can't be around these guys that are semi-skating around. They're going to collide with me and hurt me.
I remember I had the last practice. And I said to the kids, I call them all at center ice. And I said, I don't want you to pass the puck. And they looked at me like this because all they've seen. You can listen. The puck moves faster than you. And
that's
the father.
Tagline,
the puck moves faster than you. Move the puck. Move the puck. Move the puck. So I said, I remember I saying to them, I don't want you to pass the puck. I want you to go to the other end and score. And if you can stop, and the kids really, and I remember the practice at the end, the sweat was just pouring off.
They loved it.
They loved it.
And the funny thing is, the first things the scouts say, can he skate? Can he handle a puck? They don't say, can he pass a puck?
Nobody says, can you pass
the
puck?
How good a passer is it? They all say, can he skate? Can he handle the puck? That's the two things, the first two things the scouts look for.
And I can say too, being in the rinks, what do you hear in the stands being yelled at? Pass it. Pass it. Pass the puck. That's all you hear the mothers saying is pass the puck. And one time I turned to a mother, I won't say she's a mother of an NHLer. And I said, you know why you yell at telling your kid to pass the puck? And then she goes, why? I says, because you don't want your kid labeled at 5 years old to be a puck hog. I said, who is he going to pass the puck to? And she goes, well, that's true. And I said, that's the reason the parents yell.
Well, Gretzky, a perfect example is Wayne Gretzky. He was a great, you know, second greatest hockey player I ever saw. Well, Bobby was the best, Bobby Orr. By the way, they did draft a guy best.
Yeah, there was a guy, Robert Orr, got drafted.
Robert Orr, imagine it.
From Quebec. He played for the Moosehead.
Yeah, well, I hope
he... Well, you had a defenseman on your Mississauga Ice Dogs that was a defenseman. His last name was Orr. And he put on number 4 on your team. Remember that guy?
Yeah. I don't remember him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was
must
on
have
the
been
ice
around long.
Yeah. Anyway,
so
that's
anyhow,
pressure.
Well, the thing is, just I know we're off topic. We're going to read some more names, but you and I have said that you can tell teams that scrimmage more because they when they're scrimmaging, they're learning confidence. They're learning how to think the game. They like when you're doing all the passing drills, there's nobody to stop you, right? So it just becomes automatic and it's
just
a drill.
Yeah, it's robotics.
When at some point when the kids go, don't know, they got to learn how to think the game and not just do the just do the stuff. And the kids that scrimmage a lot, like Dan Cameron's, you could see they thought the game. They knew where to go when they didn't have the puck. And teams that pass the puck just do passing drills. When the kids don't have the puck, you can see they sometimes don't know where to go. And that's the difference between scrimmaging and doing the Hockey Canada drills.
He said the same thing, is that he always went where he thought the puck, or he knew the puck was going.
You're
and
anticipating.
That's what his dad taught him.
And also it helps the kids know that they're going to get hit, to look, you know what I mean, when they're looking, who's coming to hit
well,
me?
Well, Dougie Gilmore, you couldn't hurt Dougie Gilmore.
Because he knows it's coming, spin, and he knows spin, how to spin. And
well, we'll get into that someday. Yeah. But anyhow, Tim.
So here's some more guys from the GTHL
that we watched.
And again, it's quite exciting to see the... I'm more happy for the moms and dads.
Because you know how much they paid their dues.
They paid their dues.
A lot of money, a lot of...
What does it cost to get in the GTHL?
I remember one time talking, this would have been... I guess it would have been maybe 5 or 6 years ago, if not longer. I was talking to a guy whose son was playing for the Toronto Marlies, the under 16, the minor midget team. And he was telling me that there was probably 10 games left in the season and they were going into the playoffs, that he had spent $5,000 on sticks.
And on he'd sticks?
On just sticks. And he spent about $3,000 to $4,000 on skates, because his son had skates at the beginning of the year, and then he had a growth spurt, and he had to buy new skates, and so he was on basically his third pair of skates that year because his son grew so much, and so you just on sticks and skates. That's not ice time. That's not.
It's an expensive
tournament.
Sport.
Tournaments, you got everything. The gas, the hotels.
He was at 8,000. He says it was $8,000, and he said, he goes, if I didn't have my own business, he says,
how about the sticks? Remember when they break a stick, you'd hear...
that's a classic one. You know, these sticks are like $200-$300, yeah. Right? And they don't give the parents a break. And a kid will come down and you see a stick break and you hear the father, son of a...
Can I tell you a story about Dell? You know, when Dell was in, when Dell was playing goal, and you know how when the penalty's coming up, the goalie's supposed to bang a stick on the ice? Dell used to whack that stick so loud. So finally I said to him, Dell, so help me God, if you break that stick during you banging that thing, and every time he would bang the stick, he'd look up at the crowd at me and laugh.
He knew how to bang it.
Is that right? Because I was worried. I mean, he banged that stick, and that, you know, $350 for a goalie stick.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Well, that's the thing. They say, oh, we got to get, you know, kids involved in the game and, you know, kids at risk or, you know, underprivileged kids getting it. Like, so what? So you get some kid that's an underprivileged kid that comes from a household, doesn't have a lot of money, and he plays hockey, and he absolutely loves it, and he gets his first equipment. Then what?
Remember John Gardner?
Next year. It's just, so John, next year, well, go out and buy a $200 pair of skates.
No, you can't do it. I remember John Gardner telling me that he was driving two young players to the game, and there was a kid looking out the window, and it was a single mother, and she couldn't afford. And he this kid was more talented than the two guys he had in the car. I remember him telling me that.
Yeah, I know. It's just if you know, everybody says, "Oh, the you know, minor leagues down because of the violence in hockey." It's not that. It's getting. It's,
well, that's the people that hate hockey
or don't know, or in the media that want to say that. It's just the expense. It's getting insane, and I don't see Hockey Canada doing anything about
it. No, they just go.
I wonder what they do with all their money.
You have to wonder, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean,
that's another show.
That's another show.
If there's ever an investigative reporter, they should do a report on what is Hockey Night in Canada. I've asked coaches and people are supposed to. I said, is it a charity?
Is it
incorporated non for profit? What is it? And you know what? Very few people can answer
Nobody
that
knows.
Question.
Hockey Canada. I don't know.
You should maybe get your buddy there on the Sun to do a little investigative report.
Tim, read what the name the players. So start off. We'll start off. We won't interrupt. Go ahead.
Okay, so we got Brennan Othman. He played on Don Mills. Wyatt Johnson, he played for the Marlies. Morgan Lemieux played for, no, I'm not saying that right, Malou, Montreal drafted him. He played for the Marlies. Daniel, another name I'm kind of butchering, Chaka, played Vegas, got him in the second round. He played for the Junior Canadians. L.A. picked Francisco Pinelli. And then, it's funny, L.A., they pick a lot of guys from the OHL.
Yeah.
You know, and they picked Quentin Byfield last year, and they picked that Brenton Clark. He'll be with Downey. And they picked his Francisco Pinelli. He's a real speed demon.
That's Rob Clark, I think. Blake.
Rob Blake. Yeah. See, they pick a lot of Ontario guys, unlike another team we know. we won't get into that.
We won't get into that.
This is an interesting for me. The guy, New York Rangers took a goalie named Tristan Lennox. He played for the Detroit Red Wings. And he, to me, was the best goalie in the draft. And he got drafted a year later. Like, his draft year was last year. And that's what I mean, Sinew. You talk about why don't they draft goalies?
More goalies.
They want to wait and see.
Sure.
See this kid. So this kid was really big, and he's huge. Like, he's,
and they like big goalies now, as opposed to Felix Barney.
Yeah, like, you know, look at Price and Vasilevsky. So he's a big goalie. Stevie Eisenman took him. Oh, sorry, the New York Rangers, or New York Islanders, Lou Lamoriello took him. Buffalo got a guy named Josh Bloom, who I really liked. He played for the Toronto Nats. Tampa Bay got another big defenseman, Roman Schmidt. He played for the Rebels. I don't know. I think he played for the Marlies, too.
I remember him as Schmidt.
He was big. The Blackhawks took a guy named Ethan Delmastro, who played for the Marlies. The Wings took Pascal Zito, who played for the Rebels. The Flames took Jack Beck, who played for the Marlies. The Flames took Francisco Akuri, played for Don Mills. And Montreal took Joel Verbeek. He was their goalie. And he was kind of small.
Yeah, he was.
He's 6'6 now.
He had the spurt, eh? Yeah, he was kind of small.
He was. He was maybe 5'10 when we watched him. He's 6'6 now. And he was, again, the team only lost 1 year. So Don Mills had they had four guys in this year's draft, and they'll have the number one pick next year's draft.
I would like to talk about the draft. I think things that interested me. I saw the Krejcin, and they have the big S.
Kraken.
Oh, Kraken. What is that, a monster?
Yeah, it's like a mythical beast. Like, it has like tentacles, and it's a beast that the sailors used to be afraid of, that used to drag ships down the bottom of the sea.
Anyhow, they got the big S, like we had it on Spokane Comets, and just to make sure that I did, you sent me over a picture of Connie Madigan and I together at the end of the bench. Where'd you get that, by the way?
Somebody sent that to us on my Facebook page.
Yeah, and I remember Connie coming in, and I'm sitting at the end. He says, move over. So, they picked Bernier. He was their draft pick. And Mason McTavish, his dad, I find interesting. His dad played for Calgary for 14 years, which is pretty good. Now, Luke Hughes had two brothers. He was first. The brothers were Quinn and Jack.
Yeah, so Quinn plays for Vancouver.
Yeah,
and Jack plays
and pretty good player.
He'll be
making $9 million in a few years.
Yeah, and then Jack Hughes, who we saw play, he played for the Marlies, I believe, and he plays for New Jersey. And now his brother plays for him.
So let me ask, Dad, do you think that, you know, these players that have, you know, history of their parents or their dads being athletes, do you think that's a hereditary trait, or do you think that because they've been given the opportunity?
Like, I think both. I hate to say.
Okay, if you had to, which one's more dominant, the hereditary factor?
I think the NHL pick and his dad, Jim.
Well, I think they're around the dressing room.
Yeah, you know,
so they know what it takes to get.
They know what it takes to get it, to get there, and the dedication needed.
Yeah, well, they know what. Well, Jim played for Spengler Cup, and his mom was a great athlete too. And Brandon Clark, brother Graham, is a third round pick, and he's playing for New Jersey. So I find that interesting.
It's always amazing too how many of the players have sisters that are good athletes too that have played women's hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So just to go on with the Kraken draft.
Okay.
like they looks like they have a pretty good defense. They got they got that kid from Boston. They got Mark Giordano, but the rumors are going to trade him. They got that Oleksiak, whose sister's in the Olympics, who's big guy, he's the biggest, heaviest guy in the league. He's a big defenseman. They got Larson from the Oilers. They got that Vince Dunn. But they're not going to score. If they think that they're
going
to
they're going to get – I am going on the assumption that they're going to pick up a lot of free agents. And they got $30 million to spend, and they better – pick up some free agents that can score because they have good players, good hard-working players. They have a good base, but they don't have anybody that can score.
Because if you look at Vegas that first year, they had Carlson got 78 points, Marchessault got 75 points, Perrin got 66 points, Hulla got 29 goals, and James Neal got 44 points. They all had career. A lot of them had career years.
Well, Fleury was
the big guy. And Fleury was, what was he? Fleury was...
Now he went from Pittsburgh.
29-13.
Murray, wasn't it Murray that... No, who was the guy? Who was the other goalie?
Murray was in Pittsburgh, and
he had a great year. Yeah, he had a great year.
They won the cup.
Yeah. They had a great year, too. Anyhow, let me go on with Tyler Boucher. His dad was Brian. He was number 18. I think it was by Ottawa. He's a goaltender, and he had 2004. Wrote this all down. You remember a long time ago, he had five consecutive shutouts, and that was his dad. For Phoenix, you remember that a few years ago?
I remember. There was a guy. What did he have? Four or five? There was a goalie.
Five
shutouts in a row. Four or five shutouts in a row.
And his name was Boucher Brian. Anyhow, Cole Sillinger, dad is Mike, played over 1,000 games, 17 years. Now get this: he played for 12 different teams.
Holy
12.
He's
I
right
must
up
tell
there
a story
with,
about Larry Hillman.
Well, it's hard to beat Gary Smith for being traded.
He never played for 12. 12 has got to be a record. Chase Stillman. He was picked by 29th by New Jersey. His brother, Riley, played. I like that name, Stillman, too. Fourth round by Florida. Chicago, Corey, his dad, Corey Stillman, everybody remember, well, I remember him. First round pick for 1993, played over 1,000 games, two Stanley Cups. Now, I remember this guy. This is hard to believe. I remember his grandfather, Bud Stefanski, something like that. He played, and I remember him. I wanted him to play for us. He was a good, he was up and down.
In Rochester or Boston?
In Boston. Nolan Ryan, picked 32 by Chicago. His uncle, third round pick, he was 1994. Played 11th season in the AHL, won the gold with the junior. And his brother Carl was a good coach in the American Hockey League. I find that interesting anyhow.
So, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. It's a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign up today and use the promo Grapes, you get 10 spins on the big wheel for some big dough. And then you can get, they'll match your deposit up to $500. And your first sportsbook, they'll spot you $25.
Sounds pretty good to me.
So, Dad, let me ask you about the philosophy of the draft, okay, what GMs are thinking when they're making all those decisions. Do you think that the GM is drafting players that would, be good for his coach or the other way around? Do you think that, you know what, he's going to draft who he wants and that coach better be able to coach who he drafts?
When you ask me a question like that, I think of the Leafs. And I remember Babcock. He had his way. He'd be good for. He'll be back. He'll be back in the National Hockey.
Yeah, like we said, he should go to Buffalo. He'd help Buffalo.
Yeah.
So anyhow, funny thing is, this guy was the most sought after guy in hockey, and all of a sudden, nobody wants. Of course, he's getting $6 million
well,
for doing nothing.
I think he's got one or two more years left of that.
Why would he want to coach if he's got two more years of getting paid?
But anyhow. I think of, when I think back of that, I think of him putting on Hyman all the time on that wing with Matthews and Marner. And I remember the criticism he took, and he kept playing him, and he blocked, and Hyman was blocking shots. And he'd say, why is that crude guy playing with those two? And they didn't realize that he was doing all the work for them, or doing a lot of the work for them. He blocked shots, he killed penalties, and the whole deal. Now he's going to Edmonton, and like I said a couple of shows ago, comes a time in life where you have to go. Now, what is he getting, Tim? He's getting eight.
He's getting. It's still a debate, but it's going to be 7 or 8 years at $5 million a year.
Now the Leafs could. They could have. You think they'd been able to afford $5 million, but he did not go for the short term. He went for the long term. He knows he goes, and he's going to be playing with McDavid next year. I mean, this guy.
Yeah, he went from Marner's and Matthew to Draisaitl and McDavid.
Not bad. I mean, this guy, and he does the work though. He works. There's no doubt he works.
But getting back to the draft, though, how does that affect with Dubas with
the
draft?
Well, what I'm saying is that Babcock just loved Hyman, and he kept playing him. And Hyman would not be the player he's playing today if he had to listen to everybody else. No, I think that if a general manager, I would try to get players that the coach likes.
Because I got to tell you, when I look at Lou Lamoriello in New York, He gets the guys that Barry Trotz wants.
Yeah.
And
Martin and Kucherov.
Well, that's the guy he went. So he takes the two Leafs that Barry Trotz wants, and they go to the semifinals. And you know, just we won't get into it again. But when you were coaching Boston, your GM Harry Sinden,
for two years, they won.
They won the Stanley Cup, then they went to the finals, and then you came in.
I came in.
And then within a year, Harry and you realized that the team wasn't going to win, and you guys got rid of almost everybody. And as you say, you changed the culture of the dressing room.
Pardon?
You changed the culture in the dressing room.
But that must have been a hard sell to the owners, saying, gee, you're getting rid of guys that had just won the Stanley Cup and had just, you know, gone to the finals.
No, they had a new guy come in, didn't like me, Jeremy Jacobs. He didn't like me either. And nobody liked me.
The fans went bananas. When you traded Phil, the fans got upset.
Oh, yeah, they were going to
boycott. And when you traded Kenny Hodge, the fans got
upset. And you know who was really mad was Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr come up to me.
They haven't heard that story in a long time. Tell the story about telling Philly got traded in Vancouver.
Oh, you want to? Oh, this is a true story. So, Phil tells the story anyhow.
Okay, so we'll end on this one because we're going a little bit long.
Oh, we are going. Okay.
So this is what we'll do. That just to set it up that you guys were struggling a little bit, but not too much.
No, we were going pretty good.
We're good, but. Harry Sinden and you've decided to trade Phyllis Pezetil and Carl Vadney.
No, it was Dallas Smith we wanted to trade. We'll go into that someday. Yeah. But anyhow.
And so for Brad Park and John Rattel in the New York. So it was Boston, New York.
So I get a call from Harry at 5:30 in the morning.
You were in Vancouver.
You're in Vancouver. Everything seemed to happen in Vancouver. And he said, you have to get to Phil right away. He says, it's broken here. I don't know who did it, but it's broken here that the trade has gone through. You have to go and to Phil's room. And I said, holy. So at 5:30 in the morning, I knock on the door. I phone Bobby, of all guys, and Bobby meets me in the hall, dressed in shorts. And we go to Phil's room. And I knock on the door. And Phil answers the door. He's got white pajamas on, silk. Anyhow.
And he had conditioner in his hair, too, didn't
you
say?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyhow, we come in, and Bobby goes in, and Bobby goes over to the... It was raining outside, and I remember he goes to the window and look outside. He's mad, too.
He was saying he was really upset.
Oh, he was really upset. So, but nice, nice. So I go in, and I said to... and Bobby's standing by the window, looking out the window. And Phil thought... You want to hear the funny thing is, Phil thought I was fired.
Yeah, and I was. That's the irony of it.
Surprise, surprise, Phil. So I walk in, and I tell Phil he's been traded, and that's all I said was traded. And he's on the thing, and he got tears in his eyes because he Phil got stiffed a little bit that he could have gone to World Hockey and made a lot of money, but he wanted to stay with the Bruins. So anyhow, he says, Grapes, if you tell me I've been traded to New York Rangers, I'm going to jump out that window. I said, Bobby, get away from that window. Phil tells that. I can't believe I'd be that cruel. Anyhow, and then I must tell her that whole story. But anyhow, I don't think I said that. I might have, but anyhow.
Well, Bobby and Phil both said you said it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Maybe I did. But
it
anyhow,
sounds like something you would say. I mean, yeah, you weren't too sympathetic.
You always thought a lot about Bobby more than you thought of me. So anyhow.
But that took a lot of guts for Harry to do that. I mean, he was really in your corner in the first 2 years.
First 2 years, we were the best of friends.
And how about you asking him to get Wensink? I mean, that was the true
test. Oh, I'll go on to that someday. We don't have enough time. I just like to end, Tim, if you don't mind. I'd like to end with the kids. I know there's a lot of kids out there that have been very disappointed that they weren't drafted.
Yeah, this really was a funny year because a lot of the kids in the OHL didn't even play. So everybody knows kids rise up and they go down and over 60 games. And
so I know you're disappointed. Hey, Tim, you know.
Yeah, extremely disappointed.
Okay, I just want to name a few of the players, and there's quite a few here, that were not drafted that went on to be great players in the National Hockey League. So if you weren't drafted, don't feel bad. I'll name them out. Eddie Belfour, Hall of Fame. Sergei Bobrovsky, 2 Vezina trophies. Dan Boyle, Dino Cicerelli, broke his leg, I think, though, that's why.
Yeah.
Steve Duchesne, Mark Giordano, Norris Trophy winner. Curtis Joseph, say no more, one of the best goalies I ever saw.
Played in the Olympics.
Timmy Kerr scored 50 goals, and I think he scored 50 goals.
We should tell stories about him one day.
Curtis Joseph, yeah.
No, Tim Kerr, maybe one of the best power play guys.
Yeah, right? And nobody even knows him. And he used to stand in front of the net, and boy. Adam Oates set a record, forget how many assists. Martin St. Louis won the Art Ross Trophy twice. Stevie Thomas, Nicholas Backstrom, Tyler Bozak, good defensive centerman. Mike Keane, Dave Poulin, he never got drafted. And I must tell a story, but Mike Milbury was not drafted either. My second best defenseman. So if you were not drafted, don't give up. Don't think that it's the end of the world. You will be found.